Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. My apologies for being a little late. Technical problems. And took me some time to overcome them. I have a few short announcements I'd like to make before class. I'd like to remind the devotees, those who are in need of some assistance, that there will be a session today, later today and tomorrow at 6 p.m. Moscow time at the same link. Dino Gauranga will conduct sessions for devotees who need help in registering on the new site. And I also got a confirmation today as an added impetus for registering on the site. I was told that probably by the week after next, all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures and all of Srila Prabhupada's lecture transcriptions will be fully searchable on the site. That means his audio lectures and transcriptions, they'll all be fully searchable. And I was assured that by the week after next, that you'll be able to find it there, which will be definitely be a very nice added feature, as far as I'm concerned, prime feature of the new website, where you can search a transcription by words and then find the lecture and then play the audio lecture. Right, they'll be all there available in the search. So, anyways, if anyone needs help for registering on the site, there are sessions today at 6 p.m. Moscow time and tomorrow, 6 p.m. Moscow time. And I believe there's a plan for next week also for Saturday and Sunday as well. So far, we're approaching about 500 registrations on the site. But on the previous site, there were a lot more registrations, so it will take some time to gradually catch up. So those are my brief announcements for today. And I think, yes, that's it. We can begin class. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Oh, before, I forgot to add one other thing. Very relevant. They will also be available, Prabhupada's lectures and transcriptions will also be available in Russian. And that's coming up also. Not just English. It will be longer, but it's in the pipeline, and it will be there also. So you'll find English, audio files, PDF files, and Russian audio files. And I'm not sure about PDF files, but definitely Russian audio files will be there. And it was a project I was working on that I spoke about before. Those files, I think there's about 2,000 lectures that we have now in the, that have been dubbed into Russian, Prabhupada's lectures. And they will all be there. And there's more coming too. Okay, now we can begin. That was the other thing. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brihadbhagavatamrita, Volume 2, Chapter 4, Text 168. I'm going to read a few verses this evening. Yadrisho Bhagavan Krishno Mahalakshmir Apidrishi Tasya Nitya Priya Sandra Satchid Ananda Vigraha. The Supreme Goddess of Fortune shares in the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. She is eternally his beloved, the concentrated embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Commentary. Mahalakshmi is the consort of Lord Narayan, who again is called Krishna in this verse. As the source of all other incarnations, Lord Narayan is superior to the other forms of Godhead, such as the Vishnus involved with material creation. He is therefore called Mahavishnu, and accordingly his principal consort is called Mahalakshmi. Sri Vishnu Purana states, Nityaiva sa jaganmata, Vishno Shir Anapayani Yata Sarava Gato Vishnus Tatai Vyam Dvijotama. O best of the Brahmins, the goddess Lakshmi is the eternal mother of the universe. She never leaves the company of Lord Vishnu. Just as Vishnu is all pervading, so is she. Devatve devadeheyam manushyatve chamu manushi Vishnor dehanurupam vai karot yeshat manastanum. When he appears as a demigod, she appears as a goddess. And when he becomes a human man, she becomes a human woman. She accepts for herself a body that exactly corresponds to whatever body Lord Vishnu assumes. Text 169. Sasada Bhagavad Vaksha Stalivasati Tatpura Tasya Eva Vitarasta Krishnasyeva Parahiyaha. She always resides on the Supreme Lord's chest and is fully dedicated to him. Her incarnations are non-different from her, just as Lord Krishna's are non-different from him. Commentary. On Svargaloka and wherever else Lord Vishnu descends, the goddess Lakshmi joins him in her incarnations. Thus, having innumerable avatars, she is equal in status to her husband. And just as he is one but displays an infinitude of personal forms, the one Lakshmi has a limitless and elaborate hierarchy of avatars, some of them seemingly superior to others, yet all of them equally transcendental. Text 170. Yamaha Siddhavattasu Sarva Sampadadishwari Mamukshu Mukta Bhaktanam Upeksha Saiva Bhutida. Among those expansions of Lakshmi is the controlling deity of all material opulence, who has great perfections at her command. But that bestower of prosperity is utterly neglected by liberated souls, by candidates for liberation, and by devotees of the Lord. Commentary. The goddess Lakshmi is glorified in many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.8. Yad architam brahma bhavadibhi surai shriya chatevya munibhi cha satvatai. The lotus feet of the Lord are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Such statements indicate that she is more respected among the worshippers of the Supreme Lord than even liberated sages and pure Vaishnavas. Why then is she sometimes disparaged as material and inferior? In this verse and the next, Narada answers this doubt. Among the many expansions of the goddess of fortune, there is one Lakshmi who presides over all the opulences of the material world. All the residents of the universe, including the rulers of the various planets, owe their powers to her. Even the mystic cities of yogis proceed from her. Mumukshus, persons striving for liberation, and muktas, persons who have already achieved it, neglect this particular form of Lakshmi because the opulences she bestows are nothing but favors for sense gratification, which to genuine mumukshus and muktas are not at all attractive. Entanglement in mundane sense gratification is the main obstacle to liberation. I'll stop here for now, although I might read the next verse too. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unminitam Nyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pungam Langayate Garim Yat kripata maham vande shri gurundina taranam. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale. Shimate bhakti vedanta swaman iti namane. Namaste saraswate deve gaurdavani pacharine. Nirvishesha shanyavari pastyachade satarine. Jai shri krishna chaitanya. Prabhu nityananda. Shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaurda bhakti vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Last class, we talked about a lot about Lord Chaitanya's dream, but essentially what we were covering was the topic of how Krishna individually satisfies each of his devotees. And then the other verse that we spoke from was about how Krishna satisfies his devotees not only in his various avatars who manifest various degrees of his potencies, but it also spoke about, Narada Muni also spoke about, how Krishna manifests his potencies in the Sakyavesha avatars. And we described various Sakyavesha avatars from references which were given from both Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and the various degrees of potency which were manifest in them, and by which those who worshipped and served the Sakyavesha avatars were able to experience the Lord's presence and his potencies within them. And now, beginning with these verses in today's verses, Narada Muni is beginning to describe also how Mahalakshmi, who is the eternal consort of the Lord in Vaikuntha, just as the Lord manifests in all the ways we've been discussing throughout the spiritual and material creation, and the heavenly planets, and on earth when he descends, and in Vaikuntha, in the same way, his shakti, or potencies, they also manifest, specifically in this case, Mahalakshmi, and she manifests in various forms just suitable as his consort, just suitable for the to accompany the Lord in his particular form. Or as described here, she accepts for herself a body that exactly corresponds to whatever body Lord Vishnu assumes. Then it is described in the next verse how she always resides eternally on the chest of the Lord, and her incarnations are none different from her, just as Lord Krishna's are none different from him. And then this verse, this last verse that we just read, there is a description of how Lakshmi, there's an expansion of Lakshmi. Among those expansions is the controlling deity of material opulence. And we should understand that this expansion of Mahalakshmi is the Lakshmi who is the source of all opulences in the material world. And as we know, there are many individuals and worshippers of her who wish to simply enjoy her separate from Narayan. And therefore, as will be described in the next verse, which we haven't read yet, that is the reason why we understand that one of the names for Lakshmi is Chanchala, which is that she's flickering. Someone may take shelter of this expansion of Lakshmi, although, as we know, as if we actually analyze it as it has been so far described in these verses, there's no question of her ever leaving Narayan. If she accompanies the Lord, not only is she eternally manifest on his chest, she's at his lotus feet, massaging his feet, but whenever the Lord descends, she descends with him, accompanies him in the just a perfectly suitable form. So it's obvious from all these verses which we've read so far that she'll never leave, she never has and never will leave Narayan. Yet, she is known as Chanchala or flickering because she is flickering to those who wish to enjoy her without Narayan. And if you easily assess and analyze that, then there's no question of being able to enjoy her without Narayan because she never leaves Narayan. And if you try to separate her from Lord Narayan, then she may... Oh, Lakshmimoni wrote something about something that Prabhupada said. Can you... I didn't see it, I'm sorry. When these little things manifest on my screen, they're only partially manifest. They're not full manifestations. They're only partial manifestations of a chat message. And therefore, I only see the partial manifestation and I don't see the whole thing. So, because it's coming from Lakshmimoni and it's a reference from Srila Prabhupada, I'll go into the chat and I'll see what she says. When Srila Prabhupada gave me my name, he said, "The goddess of fortune is Chanchala. She never likes to stay in one place, but she always finds new and wonderful ways to serve Lord Krishna." Yes, thank you for sharing. So, Chanchala Lakshmi is this expansion of Lakshmi. And there are various pastimes in which she has manifested. One which is actually alluded to or spoken about in the next verse, which I haven't read yet, but it's when she appeared when there was the churning of the milk ocean. And there's a very detailed description of in the Bhagavatam. When the demigods and demons were churning the milk ocean, then so many different manifestations appeared. There was a cow, then there was a horse, and then there was Airavata, and then there was Apsaras, and then Lakshmi appeared, and that Lakshmi, who appeared from the churning of the milk ocean, she appeared there, and naturally everybody who was present was very much attracted to how can I get shelter of Lakshmi. And therefore, many, many different offerings were given to her when she appeared. All the demigods, they were giving her offerings. They were giving her a very wonderful seat and a throne to sit on. And many other offerings were brought before her because they were thinking that they wanted Lakshmi. And then, what happened was Lakshmi, she began approaching everyone present, and she understood that they were all had some defect in various ways. They weren't perfect, and she was carrying a garland of lotus flowers because she was looking where to put this garland, someone to accept as her husband. And she didn't find anyone among them, and for various reasons, she gave very detailed explanation for all of them of why they were all inadequate to be accepted as shelter. Or they wanted her shelter, but she wanted to accept the shelter of service to the perfect husband. So then, after due consideration of all those who were present, then she decided to approach the Supreme Lord. I think the word that was used there, who is described as Mukunda. She approached the Supreme Lord Mukunda and she placed the garland on him, and then he agreed to accept her and to give her shelter on his chest. And this was the Chanchala Lakshmi, who's not the eternal Mahalakshmi, who's always residing on his chest. She's always there. This was the Chanchala Lakshmi. And this point is brought out in the next verse of Bihad Bhagavatamrita. I probably should have read it in conjunction with this verse, but because I've gone a little bit ahead to the next verse, these details weren't there, but one thing that was said, I'll read the next verse and then we'll continue, just so we can get the full benefit of the verse from Srila Sanatana Goswami. Yasya eva valolaya praya savachakatyate navanam apibhaktanam bhagavat priyatadika. Everywhere it is said that even new devotees are dearer to the personality of Godhead than that form of Lakshmi, who is usually very fickle. Commentary. According to the Puranas and other scriptures, even neophytes, what to speak of mature, experienced devotees, are more favored by the Lord than is the material expansion of Lakshmi. Why? Because under the pretext that Durvasa cursed her, or on some other excuse, that Lakshmi is always disappearing from one place and appearing in another. Thus, at any moment, she can abandon persons who have taken shelter of her. Nonetheless, because she is an incarnation of Mahalakshmi, she has many of the exalted qualities of the original goddess of fortune. Thus, we hear that during the churning of the milk ocean, when the material Lakshmi appeared from it, Lord Vishnu accepted her as his wife, and she took up residence on his chest. In contrast with this Lakshmi, the original Mahalakshmi is Lord Narayan's dearmost servant. Always fully dedicated to his service, she remains on his chest eternally and is never fickle. The Lord's devotees always worship her with the greatest reverence. They never neglect her as they do her material expansion. And, of course, this refers to the last verse where it's described that neither the mumukshus or the muktas or the bhaktas, the devotees, are very interested at all in Chanchala Lakshmi. Why they have no interest? Because they know that Chanchala Lakshmi is an obstacle for their aspirations. The mukshus are those who are aspiring for liberation, and the muktas are those who are already liberated, and the bhaktas, none of them want to find any obstacle whatsoever in their own aspirations for the devotees of service to Krishna. He doesn't want to be impeded in any way by trying to enjoy Lakshmi without Narayan. The devotee is only interested in satisfying the Supreme Lord Narayan, and by satisfying the Supreme Lord Narayan, certainly Lakshmi is also very pleased because he is so dear to her. So devotees, they, as the verse said, but that bestower of prosperity is utterly neglected by the liberated souls, by candidates for liberation, and by devotees of the Lord. Neglected means they have no interest in serving her or pleasing her in any way for any personal or material gain. And Prabhupada, of course, in so many places, he always speaks about this point about how the materialists in the modern age are only interested in enjoying Lakshmi without Narayan. And of course, the ideal example, which is always he always uses, is that of Ravana, who stole Sita from Ram. And because of his attempt to steal Sita from Ram, he says this is the same mentality of the modern materialist persons who simply want to enjoy the opulences which Lakshmi gives, but she's chanchala. And therefore, we see so many examples in the material world how somebody may have received some benedictions or some wealth, some material opulences, and because the persons who received those wealths or those so-called benedictions were only interested in enjoying themselves. And of course, sometimes they may try to, in various ways, excuse me one second, there's a warning on my computer and I don't know what it means. I just want to make sure it doesn't mean that I'm going to lose you all in just a second. No. Oh, I'm okay. opulences. I know what it was. What I was about to say is that sometimes they may try to worship in a way to satisfy the Lord out of fear that if the Lord is not pleased, then maybe Lakshmi will manifest her flickering nature. But their only interest is Lakshmi. And the Lord knows, certainly, how much those who worship him are interested in keeping them together. Therefore, he's very, very astute and very keen to recognize those who always want to keep Lakshmi with Narayan and never for their own enjoyment. And Prabhupada, of course, establishes this point in many different places, the essence of this point, that this is the best way to worship Lakshmi. And if you do so, Lakshmi, not Chanchala Lakshmi, but you get the benedictions, of course, of Mahalakshmi. And you get real opulence, which may not necessarily be manifest in the form of worldly opulence. The real opulence is, as we know, the devotees get. The devotees, the real treasures, the real opulences that they're seeking for, aspiring for from the Lord, is the Lord's pleasure. That is the real opulence. Queen Kunti, she describes this in her prayers, that you can only be approached by those who are materially exhausted, those who are on the path of material progress, trying to improve themselves by great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, respectable parentage. They cannot approach you with sincere feeling. And Prabhupada explains in the commentary to that verse is that sometimes we see that the persons who are aspiring for worldly opulences or for any of these things, he says, he gives the example, he says, these are all just simply like the symptoms of a healthy unhealthy body. He says, just as fever is a symptom of an unhealthy body, the goal to become healthy again is to bring the fever down. He says, similarly, those who are always aspiring to increase these opulences, they cannot approach the Lord with sincere feeling, and therefore they cannot feelingly call out, as Prabhupada explains in the commentary of that verse, they cannot feelingly call out Krishna's name. Right? Why? Because essentially the same principle, because they're forgetting that everything is meant for the Lord's pleasure. Whatever opulences I have is meant for his service, and if he is pleased to even put me in a materially impoverished condition, the greatest opulence for that devotee is his attachment to the Lord. That is his wealth. And Prabhupada makes that point also in another verse in the prayer of Queen Kunti. That is the wealth of the devotee, is his attachment to the Lord under all circumstances, whether in material distress, in material poverty, or whether in a wealthy situation. We already explained before, we told the whole pastime about Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and that whole pastime which described how Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he lived and appeared from external point of view as a worldly person, with so much, surrounded by so much opulences. But that was just a cover, it was just a front, so that to hide himself from people who would be attracted to him for his real opulences. He was trying to hide that. And he displayed what his real opulences were by his deep, deep attachment to the Lord. And when Lord Chaitanya told the whole story about Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he even explained that Pundarik Vijayanidhi, although surrounded by all this opulence, when he heard the descriptions coming from the mouth of Mukunda and the verses that he was reciting, he manifested such ecstatic symptoms that he began destroying everything in the house. So if he was so attached to these things, then why was he destroying everything? Because he was not even conscious of them. He was conscious of only one object, his attachment and his deep love for the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya displayed personally with Pundarik Vijayanidhi, when Lord Chaitanya came to see Pundarik Vijayanidhi in his home, then he displayed how deeply attached he was to Pundarik. Because Pundarik was so attached to him, he was so attached to Pundarik. And when all the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya embrace Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he embraced him and he lost consciousness and he fell on the ground in ecstasy. Both of them fell on the ground in ecstasy. And for 3 hours, they simply lied there in ecstatic trance, embracing each other. Lord Chaitanya, so attached to Pundarik Vijayanidhi. So, as we see that this is the real treasure of a devotee. This is the real opulence of the devotee. This is the opulence he aspires for. And sometimes the Lord may give his devotee opulences. Sometimes he won't give his devotees opulences. In fact, there's a description in the pastime of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in the story of a Sudam Brahman, how that when Sudam Brahman, of course, he wasn't interested in getting the favor of the goddess of fortune. And in fact, even the goddess of fortune herself, when Sudam Brahman was offering, not offering the rice, when Krishna was taking the rice from Sudam Brahman, Rukmini Devi, when she saw how attached the Lord was, who was the goddess of fortune, she saw how attached the Lord was to the broken rice from Sudam Brahman, and when he wanted to take more, she held his hand and said, "No, it won't be possible. I will not be able to provide enough opulences." She held his arm. So in this way, she explained or described the perfection of the love of Sudam Brahman, because the Lord was so pleased by his disinterest for wealth. And he did, in fact, when he went there, he even completely forgot about asking about it. And he left so satisfied because he got the fulfillment of his attachment, which was to see the Lord. And then when he went home, and he saw, of course, what the Lord had provided, and then, of course, he said to himself, "This is the nature of the Lord. He's so kind that he accepts something very small and insignificant, and he makes it something very, very big And all I didn't, I, although what I offered to him was so insignificant, he simply amplifies it and recognizes it in some way. And but yet, it's described that Sudham Brahman, although he had such opulences, he didn't wasn't interested in enjoying in them. He didn't even sleep on the opulent beds. He slept on the floor. He didn't sleep on any. He wasn't interested in enjoying it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also explains in one of the purports, he says, the Lord, sometimes he may give his devotees opulence, and sometimes his devotees may not be so much interested at all in opulences, and he may not give them opulences because he wants to please them. But if a devotee is neither interested or not interested, sometimes he'll give them some opulences. So in Sudham Brahman's case, he gave him the opulences because his wife encouraged him to go and to ask Krishna for the opulence. But Sudham Brahman was not at all interested in enjoying these opulences. He was happy simply to get the opportunity to see the Lord. And what to speak of, he was so embarrassed in even offering something to the Lord, but still the Lord was so pleased by that offering that he wanted so much to accept it and to reciprocate, and that's what he gave him. Anyways, Rukmini was involved in that. That's why I spoke about it. She's also the goddess of fortune, from all the other goddesses of fortune come. This is the real wealth of a devotee. One point I wanted to make, also, there is another reference in the Bhagavat Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami, where he speaks about the Lord's Shaktis. It's a very long Anucheda. I'm not going to read the whole Anucheda. I want to read just the very beginning because it expands a little bit on the point of the spiritual potencies and how the spiritual potencies have their counterparts materially. Just as there is Mahalakshmi, and she has her expansion of the Lakshmi or Chanchala Lakshmi in the material world. But Srila Jiva Goswami explains that all these different potencies of the Lord, and they have expansions also in this world. I wanted to read that reference and also a nice, interesting story about Chanchala Lakshmi. This is a Bhagavat Sandarbha, where Anucheda 117. And I'm sorry, my translator, I pulled this out at the last minute and decided to read it. Now, if I didn't send you the reference, I'll read it slowly, hopefully, so you can follow along with me. This is describing the Shaktis of the Lord. The Lord's Swarupa exists as Shakti and as the possessor of Shakti. It was explained that Bhagavan means he who exists with prominent manifestation of being the possessor of Shaktis, which are defined as arising from his Swarup. In other words, that is the verse Shakti Matayora Abheda, which actually explains that Krishna and his potencies are considered to be the same. It's a verse from the Vedanta Sutra. Prabhupada quotes it a lot. And essentially is saying that his both the Shakti and the possessor of the Shakti, they're the same. Lakshmi, of course, we also know they're different too, but but Lakshmi is she who exists with the predominance of that Shakti. To show this difference, between some of the unlimited Shaktis is shown by their different functions. Okay? So Lakshmi, she's manifested in different forms. And this is a verse quoted from the 10th canto, 39th chapter, 55th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it describes the different Shaktis of the Lord. And it states, in attendance were the Lord's principal internal potencies, or Shaktis. Shri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Urja. As were potencies Vidya, Avidya, and Maya, and his internal pleasure potency, Shakti. So these are all different potencies of the Lord described. And Jiva Goswami, and they're all different manifestations of Mahashakti, or Mahalakshmi, I should say. Mahalakshmi. Shakti refers to Mahalakshmi, who arises from his Swarupa. The word Shakti applies to the Lord's internal Mahashakti, the original shelter. Maya is the external Shakti. Shri and others function both internally and externally. This should be understood in all cases. So both internally, these potencies have their internal manifestation, and they also have external manifestations. The first type is spiritual. She is the Lord's wealth. She is not Mahalakshmi, since she arises from Mahalakshmi. That will be discussed later. The second type is now discussed. Shri is material wealth. She is depicted in the following verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is from the 4th canto, 20th chapter, 28th verse. And I want to read the another translation than the translation which is given here, because it's more clear. The other translation is Prabhupada's translation. That's why I want to read it. Yes, I found it. This is Prabhupada's translation. My dear Lord of the universe, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the mother of the universe. And yet I think that she may be angry with me because of my intruding upon her service and acting on that very platform to which she is so much attached. In other words, Prithu Maharaj is saying, Lakshmi may become angry with me because I want to massage your feet, and I'm taking, not that he's interested in taking her service, but he's taking away her service, and she might become angry at me. Because here, the way it says, because I desire her service, it sounds like I want her to serve me. But actually, it's because he was praying that, because I'm thinking of taking away her service, and therefore she might become angry. And what he's saying is, okay, even if she becomes angry with me. So, yet I am hopeful that even though there is some misunderstanding, you will take my part, for you are very much inclined to the poor, and you always magnify even insignificant service unto you. Therefore, even though she becomes angry, I think there is no harm for you, because you are so self-sufficient that you can do without her. So, in other words, Prithupada, what he's saying is, even if she becomes angry, you're so self-sufficient that, and then there's an explanation in the purport which specifically states that Krishna doesn't need her service. He doesn't, the Lord doesn't need her service. He's not dependent on her service. She's very much desirous of offering the service. And therefore, on that basis, the Lord doesn't mind even if she becomes angry. And therefore, and he also understands that she won't become angry because she's always satisfied with whatever opportunity she gets to be with the Lord and to serve the Lord. Essentially, that was some of the point that was made. But Prabhupada didn't make that point in the purport. Prabhupada in the purport, he simply brought out the point about how the materialists tried to steal Lakshmi from Narayan. Anyways, this is the Chanchala Lakshmi. So he says here, then and then the next verse he quotes, even Shri, to whom I show no attachment, but to gain whose favor others perform vows, does not give up the dust of my feet. That's spoken by Krishna. He's saying, I'm not attached to her. I show no attachment to her, her opulences. But others try to gain her favor. But she's attached to me, and she won't give up the dust of my feet. And then he quotes a verse. In other words, she's making the point, she'll never leave me. Never leave me. Even though I'm not attached to Chanchala Lakshmi, she'll never leave me. She'll, and therefore, that's our understanding, is that we, that's why a worshipper always has to keep Lakshmi with Narayan. But because he's therefore saying, she's so much attached to me, she'll never leave me. And that's the point that Prabhupada says. Yes, she's so much attached to me that you better keep her with Narayan. Otherwise, although she won't leave with me, but for you, she will leave. And then Jiva Goswami quotes another verse from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse states, the Lord, being complete in his sarup, does not care for the sum total of all wealth, Shriyam, which is worshipped by those desiring all wealth, and does not care for those desiring even a little wealth, or for human beings, or for devatas. He is dependent on his devotees. How could the devotee reject this Lord, even a little? Point that is being made, the Lord is never dependent upon wealth in any way. The sum total of all wealth, Shriyam, which is worshipped by those who desire wealth, such as the demigods, such as human beings. And then Jiva Goswami goes on to explain. The kings and devatas are listed together because they desire wealth. It is narrated that Lakshmi, in charge of the three worlds, having been destroyed by the curse of Durvasa, again appeared by the glance of the Lakshmi, who is directly the consort of the Lord, when she appeared from the milk ocean. Other Shaktis are similar. Ila, mentioned in verse 55, is Bhu. She also represents another Shakti called Lila. In other words, he's explaining how these different Shaktis of Mahalakshmi are manifested spiritually and how they have their expansions, such as Ila, who is Bhu, and also Lila, And he also brings up the point that Lakshmi was cursed. I don't know. I was looking for reference. I don't know the reference of under what circumstances Lakshmi was cursed. I know Durvasa Muni cursed Indra because of Indra's disrespect, Airavata's disrespect for the garland that Durvasa Muni gave him. And then that garland was trampled upon by Airavata, and Durvasa Muni became very angry and cursed Indra, and Indra, as a result, lost his opulences. That is there, but he lost a lot of other things too. So the reference is here is that the kings and devatas are listed together because they desire wealth. It is narrated that Lakshmi, in charge of the three worlds, having been destroyed by the curse of Durvasa, again appeared by the glance of Lakshmi, who is directly the consort of the Lord when she appeared from the milk ocean. So that is, again, as we said before, we told the story of Chanchala Lakshmi, who appeared from the ocean of milk, and how the demigods and everyone else and the demons, they were all captivated by her. They all began trying to appease her and satisfy her, and all tried to get benefits from her. But she showed no interest in them, and instead put the garland on Mukunda. So now he goes on to explain the different types of potencies. Vidya, and we'll end here. But this is just simply an explanation of these potencies. We said before, there is a spiritual manifestation of those potencies, which is eternal, in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. And then it's a counterpart, or an expansion, a counterpart, in the material world. Vidya of the first type, internal, causes realization of the Lord. This is a special function of the Samvit Shakti. Vidya of the second, material type, is the door to revelation of the first type of vidya. Avidya of the first type is the cause of forgetting the Lord's powers. It is the function of the bliss of prema, of his mother, and others. Gopi, jana vidya, kala preraka. The Lord inspires the gopis with prema filled with ignorance of his powers. So that is avidya in Goloka. This will be discussed in its proper place. The second type of avidya is the cause of the jivas forgetting the Lord's svarupa with the special function of covering the jiva. The word cha indicates other shaktis of the first type, sandini, samvit, ladini, bhakti, adhara shakti, murta, vimala, jaya, yoga, pravi, ishana, anugraha. And there's all these different forms, the eternal forms, and they all, these shaktis have their counterparts in the material realm. I've only given an example of just a couple, which is vidya, which is one shakti, Sri Mahalakshmi, which is another shakti, Chanchala Lakshmi is the counterpart, then vidya, knowledge, which brings realization of the Lord, is shakti in the spiritual world, and then, of course, its manifestation in this world, our secondary manifestation, is there. These are just simply given as the evidence to support the point that was initially raised by Narada Muni to Gopakumar about these potencies, of primary potency of the Lord, which is Mahalakshmi, and how she manifests eternally in the spiritual world, and she has her counterparts or her potencies who are manifested in the material world. And this is also evidence of how, just as Krishna's potencies are spread throughout creation in his various forms, in the same way Mahalakshmi has her potencies spread throughout the creation in her various forms. And that was point was also made in the verse. She always resides on the Supreme Lord's chest and is fully dedicated to him. Her incarnations are non-different from her, just as Lord Krishna's are non-different from him. Therefore, unlimited varieties of Mahalakshmi. And of course, as we understand, Mahalakshmi in Vaikuntha is an expansion of the internal potency, of the Ladini potency, of which is none other than Srimati Radharani, who is manifest in Goloka. She expands through these different forms as Mahalakshmi, and Mahalakshmi, just as we explained, as Krishna is Avatara and Avatari, and Narayan is Avatari, which is that form from which all other expansions of the Lord manifest throughout Vaikuntha, throughout the material world. And we explained that the superiority of Krishna over Narayan, that he is both Avatara and Avatari, and whereas Narayan is Avatari, and not only that, we explained how he manifests both his the opulences and sweetness. In the same way, Srimati Radharani, she is Avatara and Avatari, and just as Narayan is the source of all the other incarnations and avatars throughout Vaikuntha and throughout the material world, different Svargaloka, heavenly planets, in the same way, Mahalakshmi, she is the source, she is Avatari, and therefore all these other different energies which we just described, such as the Sri potency, the Bhu potency, and these other potencies which are all coming from Mahalakshmi, they're coming from her, but the original source who manifests is none other, all of these of source of Mahalakshmi, and who also descends along with Krishna as Avatara, is Srimati Radharani. So these are the points. It's a lot to understand, but nonetheless, we must understand, and it will come to light, because Narada Muni will definitely bring it to light. And Sanata Goswami has already brought it to light in many places already by saying that Narada Muni is alluding to how Krishna is the superior of all of these expansions, because his name Krishna is being, instead of Narayan, is being used in verses 107, 140, 145, and 161. It could have said Narayan, but instead Narada Muni used the name Krishna to indicate Krishna's as Avatara and Avatari. In the same way, we will also discover of the nature of Srimati Radharani. And as we also mentioned before, it was none other than Srimati Radharani, who sent Gopakumar. And I was just reading somewhere. I can't remember where I read it. I was just reading somewhere, just in the last day or two, that Krishna, how he sends his eternal associates from the spiritual world to come and to deliver the fallen souls. Krishna also sometimes comes himself, assumes a form. Radharani, she also sends, just as she sent Gopakumar, and sometimes she also comes herself. I'll have to find out where I read it, but I just read that somewhere in the last few days. I just read it somewhere. And and certainly we should definitely seek her mercy. And she is a personification of compassion. She is very eager to give others the opportunity. She's very eager to serve. She's very eager to introduce others. And her very confidential associates are very eager to approach her and to sometimes even tell her, somebody's here who's very eager to serve you. Please, you must accept. And please recommend them to your Krishna. And in so many different ways, we understand that she also is a very essential element for obtaining and gaining mercy, for service, to please the Lord. And she's very compassionate, and she's looking, as Prabhupada said in one lecture, and I think he talks about it, it's somewhere in the Nectar Devotion. She's very eager to introduce devotees. Of course, she's also very eager to bring the devotees forward so that they can actually be directly with Krishna. And as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, she derives a pleasure even millions of times greater than being with Krishna herself by bringing others forward in their service to Krishna. So, just as we worship Krishna and become very eager to serve him, in the same way, just as Krishna comes and personally sometimes, and sometimes sends his representative, similarly, Srimati Radharani, she also sends, and she also sometimes comes personally. And as she did for the Mathura Brahmin, through the goddess Kamakya, who was one of her expansions, goddess Kamakya gave the Mathura Brahmin the Gopal Mantra and instructed him how to chant that mantra. And not only that, then she arranged for him to come. Mathura Brahmin, I was discussing this point with Shivaram Maharaj, I believe, last time I spoke to him. We were discussing about, we understand Gopakumara getting special mercy, and that. But it seems there's definitely an indication that this Mathura Brahmin also got some special mercy, because Radharani, through the goddess Kamakya, gave the Gopal Mantra. Radharani sent Gopakumara, and yet we see that, and it was even noticed that the Mathura Brahmin prior to that, he was actually interested in worshipping Kamakya, the goddess Kamakya, because he was only interested in material wealth. And I was thinking, what kind of special mercy? And then Maharaj reminded me, he said, but he's a Mathura Brahmin. And that, as soon as I heard that, and then we started discussing about the glories of Mathura and the benefits of taking birth in Mathura, which is a benefit, which of course that Gopal Kumar got, which the Lord said he personally arranged, not only Mathura, but he personally arranged that he was born in Govardhan. There's definitely some special mercy there. And special mercy, yes, this is definitely something that we have to become very eager for, special mercy. And although we may not feel ourselves in any way, or we should not feel ourselves in any way qualified for that special mercy, but hearing about its dispensation and hearing of how merciful Krishna is, how merciful Radharani is, how merciful their energies are, how merciful their devotees are. We should pray and become very, very eager that I don't have any eagerness, I don't have any greed, I don't have anything, I don't have any qualification, but please somehow be very merciful to me. Give your mercy, and although I'm not qualified and I have no qualification, please somehow recognize something in me that so that someday, whenever you may choose, and whenever it may be your will, by your desire, to somehow give that special mercy, that's all I ask. And if we somehow meditate in that way, then all our readings of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and all these wonderful descriptions, which are meant to give us a little greed, a little hope. I was also reading about hope just recently too. Same point. Often about how a devotee always maintains hope. He always remains hopeful and should never feel hopeless. Although helpless, yes, but hopeless, there's always hope. We hope against hope. So, I've spoken longer than I probably should have. I'm still actually on a short leash, and I'm supposed to be conscientious for reasons I've described in previous classes about the utilization of my voice. But I will say that there is some improvement, although it's still, from time to time, it reminds me it's not gone. So I'll chant some japa with you, if you will be so disposed to chant japa together for a little while. But I will not chant so loudly. And before I begin, just to remind the devotees, in 1 hour and 20 minutes, there'll be a session online at the same link for those who need help on getting on the site. And to remind everyone, oops, somebody's knocking at my door. I think I'm a little bit late. To remind everyone that Prabhupada's material will hopefully within the next week and a half to 2 weeks will be there, completely searchable. And this search engine on this site is, I've tried it, it's instant. It's quite fast. And you can put in your words and search for different words in the lectures or in the titles or in the tags, and then go immediately to the audio file and to listen to it. It's exciting. I mean, I don't usually go to my site for searching, but I'm going to go now. So I registered. I was one of the first to register, especially when I heard this feature was coming. So Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have to end here. Sorry, I can't chant longer. I'll chant longer on Wednesday, on Monday. Yeah, Monday. Today's Saturday. On Monday. Thank you very much. I'll end here. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasana Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki.